This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Well, no, I'm not home. I'm at my second home. I'm in Old Town Lansing, recording in one of the offices down here in Old Town. And you're listening to Time Signatures. My name is Jim Irvin. And with me today for a second helping is Dick Rosemont and Ben Hassinger, the founding family members and one of the other musicians that played with Mystic Shake. Welcome, guys. Glad to have you back.
Hey, good to see you again. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. We had so much fun on the first go-round, but, you know, as is normal with a lot of these, not really reunions, but when you start getting together and you start talking about the history, especially with guys that haven't done that in a while, it just is such an organic overflow of fun, and I like to get as much of this as I can. I think I mentioned to you guys, I spoke with Mike Scorey and Jim Alfredson a few weeks back, and ended up into three episodes because one wasn't enough, two wasn't enough, and I could have gone beyond three, but the guys had to get home. So it was one of them things where, you know, I like to just let things go the direction that they're going and have fun with it. And honestly, this is it's an honor and it's a privilege. A good friend of mine, his name is Kerry, big fan of Flat Black and Circular, and used to stand and talk to Dick Rosemont quite a bit when he was in the store. And he started talking to me one day and he says, "Have you ever heard of Mystic Shake?" And I went, "No." Is it something you get from Arby's or, you know? And he turned me on to it. Let me borrow one of his CDs, and I instantly fell in love. And I think one of the biggest reasons, guys, that I enjoy your music is, like I said in the first episode, you just have a good time. And I think that, would you find that to be true? That was through the years that you were with them?
Well, yeah. I mean, I came into the band. I had played with various weekend warrior bands, and I had started writing and wanted to work more on original music, which didn't really fit into these other bands. So I just took a break from performing for a while. And then Dick Johnson, who was one of the bass players and the longest lasting bass player in the band, he put up a sign at Elderly Instruments where we both worked, and that Mystic Shake was looking for another member. And I'd seen Mystic Shake and I really enjoyed their music. And so I told Dick Johnson, I go, "Well, I'm going to try out for this." And he's going, "Well, I don't know. You know, we got to have an audition. It's going to be really..." You know, he's putting the fear of God in me there. And so I went over to Dick Rosemont's house, and we all got together and played. And at least I feel this way. I don't know if Dick will concur, but I felt like I found a musical home right away. And so, like I said, I started writing quite a bit, and we were incorporating more of those songs in. And yes, we had a lot of fun, but we had some very serious subjects we also explored. There was one song, kind of this wild song that Rosemont and I both worked on called People Do. And it was about, this was time, this still happens all the time, where there were demonstrations at the Capitol and guns and whatever. And all this, you know, things going on in the world that we weren't very happy with. And we wrote a song about that, incorporating, it was almost like, what would you call it, Dick? It was almost kind of this primitive.
Tribal.
Yeah, there you go. Tribal, primitive kind of sound to it. Go ahead.
It's on the Shake Your Can CD.
Right.
Okay.
And that was our, is that the CD maybe you got first? That was our
that
original
was the first
CD.
One. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think most people, that's still everybody's favorite. And maybe, Dick, you can tell them where the Shake Your Can title came from.
Well, being a rhythm-oriented group, we often would have percussion instruments for people to play along with. Well, these things aren't cheap. And as things disappeared or got broken, I thought, we need another way to do this. So I started painting 12-ounce aluminum cans, and then I had a rubber stamp made that said Mystic Shake on it, and I got non-porous ink, and I would stamp the name Mystic Shake around the can. So we would have a box of cans for people to make noise with. And, you know, if they got damaged or stolen, no big deal, just a dime in Michigan, you know.
Sure.
But the cans were filled with popcorn.
Yeah, popcorn.
How many kernels in each one? Was it 10 or 12? I can't remember. There was a scientific method to this. And then we duct taped the top.
Whatever it was.
We duct taped the top and then paint the whole thing red. So generally we'd use Coca-Cola cans because they were already pretty red.
Well, people would donate their empties.
Yeah,
you know, you could also have a V8 can that didn't have a 10-cent deposit on it.
Oh, there you go.
It only applied to carbonated beverages.
Now this begs the question, guys, are there any of those cans still in existence with either of you or?
Of course.
You're forgetting you're talking to the hoarder. I mean archivist.
Well, and do you have one, Ben?
I'm sure someone could send me one if I can't find mine.
Oh, okay.
But we had one. There was one woman that made a request, and she wanted one of our shaker cans for their wedding because where they met was at a Mystic Shake show.
I'll be
playing
deep.
The
That's
shaker
cool.
can. So I thought that was.
So did they use that to shake to kiss the bride?
I don't really know. We weren't invited to the wedding,
wow.
But we did give them our can.
That's very cool.
Yep.
So, guys, we've spent almost 10 minutes talking about this already, and this is what I'm talking about right here, just having fun. But I want to go back to 1993. This is Ben came to the fore at that time. Dick, I wanted to talk about this for a minute. Your band seemed like it was really starting to take off. You had recorded a 3-song demo. You were getting airplay on MSU's radio station, WDBM. And then you began traveling around and visiting like Ann Arbor, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo. But that's about the same time you added the Space Cowboy. And you added this guy, Ben Hassinger. So talk about this period
you
of growth.
You got to explain your Space Cowboy reference there.
Well, I'm going to turn that over to you. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm sorry. You finished. I interrupted you. Sorry, Jim.
I'm just going to say I want you to talk about that period of growth and how it helped to shape the band.
Okay. Well, you know, I was inevitably the oldster of the band, and when you're playing with younger people, sometimes their life path takes them in different ways. Mm-hmm. Bruce Landick was the other guitar player in the original lineup, and he ended up moving away, and then how did the sequence go here? I need to read your website here, Ben. Anyway, I'm not sure how we came across a sax player named Steve Miller, hence the Space Cowboy.
Mm-hmm. He was joined on stage while playing at the Riviera Cafe.
Okay,
he joined you
right?
on stage.
You're
yeah.
right.
And his name was Steve Miller.
I remember that now.
So yeah. That's why he got called the Space Cowboy.
Yeah, it added another dimension. In, you know, I was influenced by groups like The Beat, which in this country is known as the English Beat, and they had a saxophone player. And it was a pretty interesting addition, flavor-wise, to the band. Unfortunately, he's on one of the recordings on the So This Is East Lansing, the first version of Can't Believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
That we play at a breakneck pace. I think he's the sax player on that song. But, you know, sometimes when you play things live, the audience gets you playing faster than you might otherwise.
The adrenaline kicks in, too, when you're performing.
Exactly. But, yeah, Steve played on that. And he also played on the WDBM in the basement recording that we did. He was the sax player on that. We did a couple of songs. And Jim Diamond, who Ben mentioned earlier, he's an amazing sound engineer. And he mixed this stuff on the fly, not even knowing the songs. And I often told him what a impressive job he did, throwing in some effects even.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. It's called Wind Cry. And did Phil write that song, I think? And it's got all this...
No, my friend Andy.
Oh, AJ.
Shiver did.
Yeah, okay. It's got all this, like, wild... It's like the sound is swirling all around your head like the wind, and this wild sax solo in it, too.
Yeah, it was an extended centerpiece. Yeah. And we also did one of Phil's songs. It was very jazz-oriented. God, I can't think of the title of it. Sorry.
No, you're
anyway,
okay.
That wasn't on the disc, though, but I have the dub of it from when we played it live. I'm digressing here. So Steve Miller brought a new element to the band in the sense of a horn, saxophone. And then Ben joined, and he was playing keyboard and guitar. And so we really had a full band. And then... how did we meet our next horn player? Jay Biffler. That was his stage name.
Jay Biffler. That was his stage name.
Tim Altieri was his name, right?
I don't know how we...
And he played sax, trombone, trumpet. He played all kinds of things.
And the trombone
was
cool.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah, I really liked the trombone because it was, you know, it did give things more of that New Orleans kind of sound and that... yeah, it was fun having him play all those instruments. He was just around for a couple of years, maybe, not too long. But
not even that.
Yeah, I don't even think it was that
long.
Yeah,
moved.
That's when Mystic Shake really started coming together as the band that ended up. Even though we had different people, that's kind of when it all really started gelling, in my opinion. And we started, that's when we brought Greg in, and then...
Well, just back up slightly, because Phil left the group, and we ended up with your connection for guitar.
Yep.
No.
You're supposed to insert his name there. You know... One third of the Ukulele Kings. Come on.
Well, so I see where you're going. So we ended up getting. Speaking of a blues player, he's played with all these different blues bands and things, and touring regional bands. Patrick Malloy.
That's what I was trying to get you to say.
I wasn't quite sure. Pat came into the band. He goes, well, I don't know how much I can play, maybe just every once in a while and this and that. And then he ended up being the guitar player and one of the major songwriters for the rest of the life of Mystic Shake. And Pat and I then continued our musical relationship in a duo called Blue Jello, which has about as strange of a name origin as Mystic Shake. And then now in the Ukulele Kings, our trio. So Pat, I've been blessed to play with Pat. He's really one of the finest musicians I know. We've played together now for almost 30 years. And
when Pat came in on guitar, he was the musician of the band.
Yeah, that's right.
In my opinion.
Absolutely, absolutely.
He sang and he wrote interesting songs. So that really... push things up another notch. So Ben and Pat were the primary songwriters, and that's when we became primarily original material, but we threw in a reworking of some non-original songs to keep it interesting. You know, having worked in radio and played in bands, I realized that if you play a nonstop selection of songs that people have never heard, it's not easy to grab them. So you need to lead and follow at the same time. So if you throw in something that they may recognize, it's a little easier to digest.
Sure, sure.
You know, both in radio and in live performance.
Sure. Well, it shows your influences as well, and then allows people to tune in a little bit more into the original song that you're following your cover. We never did play Proud Mary or anything, but...
No.
But we picked, like, kind of obscure covers that people would recognize once they heard them, or it had an interesting enough rhythm or musical context to it that it grabbed their ear, and then we could follow it up with something we had, kind of slip our song in there.
Very cool. Well, guys, I want to talk to you about a couple of other things, because you seem like you had a good time. But like you said, not all of your music was fun and frivolity. I mean, you had some pretty serious stuff. You paid homage to the great Hall of Fame Tiger baseball announcer Ernie Harwell. You penned the Ballad of Cokie Roberts, which sounds like a lot of fun. You got airplay with Mitch Albom on his show, and you even earned a spot on the legendary Dr. Demento show. So what I want to do is I want to have you talk to me about each of those, starting with Ernie Harwell. How did that come to be? And I was reading that he thanked you, which does not surprise me.
He was a gentleman.
He was 100% everything that you thought
Absolutely.
He was and more.
You know, so many people you idolize when you hear them or see them.
Yes, sir.
And then they turn out to be disappointing in real life. And he was the real thing.
He was.
We're on the radio, but I'm wearing a Tigers-themed
yes,
Hawaiian shirt here. I'm a huge Detroit Tigers fan, and I've written two songs about the Tigers, one which we recorded with Mystic Shake, which was called The Voice of Summer, which, of course, was about Ernie Harwell. I also wrote one about Tiger Stadium called The Corner. Both are in the Baseball Hall of Fame, I'll have you know.
Wow.
And I also want to dispel the rumors that Dick Rosemont's been spreading there, that I got in without steroids, okay? There's no asterisk by my name. But
right, yeah. Yeah, but the season was longer when you started.
Okay. We had Dick wrote a song about his wife's battle with cancer and chemotherapy called Pause. And he can tell you a little bit more about that. But, you know, we had songs about, issues going on in society. And we'd often...
Well, even Can't Believe.
Well, I was just going to bring that up.
Can't Believe.
We've got this song about... I was trying to rekindle a romance with an ex-girlfriend, and I went over to her house. We were going to go on a date. And she said, this was over in Old Town also. She goes, maybe one thing you can check into. There was, in the apartment next door, the guy that lives there, you know, his car hasn't moved like for a week, and the TV's been blaring at full blast for all this time. And I'm like, maybe you could see what's going on. I'm like, this doesn't really sound great. And of course, the door was locked. So I was like trying to peek through the windows, saw this guy laying on the couch and not moving. So we called the cops and he was gone. So of course I wrote a fun, happy sounding song about it, which Dick actually helped me with. But it's got this really peppy beat. And it was one of our, we often opened the set with it because it was a real attention grabber and a great dance song. But it was all about finding a dead guy in a house and how it ruined my big plans for my date.
Wow.
Yeah, that's deep. I know.
Where do you go from
I think
there?
That's the, I think that's the opening song on the Shake Your Can CD.
Yeah.
And now I know this. Now I know the rest of the story.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
So,
I think on a live recording of it, you said, here's a happy song about a dead guy.
Oh, that's right. But we had the Y2K song.
Yep. I did see the mention of that.
Yeah, that was the YMCA, except it was Y2K. And I don't know. We had a bunch of fun, goofy stuff. On the Dr. Demento show, We did a remake of Stan Freberg's Television, which is about all the evils of TV and, you know, Elvis Presley shaking his hips and this and that. So we updated it, and someone recommended it to Dr. Demento. And of course, we gave him permission to do it. And I remember my son, Ben, and I trying to find that this was before we could listen on the internet, trying to find this radio station somewhere. And we got some faraway station with crackles and everything. And then we had Dr. Demento with us. Well, here's a great little song, a remake of Stan Freberg's Television by the band Mystic Shake.
Wow.
And it was like, you know, they can put that on my tombstone that I was a part of that. You know, that's it's hard
that
to go
be a,
anywhere
that
from
had to
there.
Be a bit of a thrill
it was
for
awesome.
You. Yeah.
It was awesome, you know? So that was a high point for both Dick and I. We were, you know, I mean, Dr. Demento, what can you say? We could have been the next Weird Al, except we weren't weird enough.
Well, and you know, the thing is, most of the people that are under the age of like 35, 40 don't even know who the hell Dr. Demento is. But, you know, that was one of the greatest parody shows.
Oh, it was awesome. There's
so
a real active Dr. Demento Facebook page.
Is there really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's,
now, see,
it's
I'm going to
really
have to go
funny.
Look for it because I love Dr. Demento.
And what about Dick? What about Five Guys Named Dick?
Oh, yeah.
That was some kind of song.
That's the, yeah, well, because we had me and Dick Johnson in the group. And, hey, maybe everybody wanted to be.
Yeah, everybody wanted to be a dick, you know? I mean that in the most sincere
sure,
way.
Sure.
Of course, there were a lot of double entendres in that song. But what was funny was we had an older couple, Carol and Jim, that was their favorite song.
Wow.
They requested, or no one else ever requested that song, except for Carol and Jim. When they were there, we knew we had to play Five Guys Named Dick.
Yep.
So we are, believe it or not, we are closing in on the end of another episode here. But I want to talk about after December of 2010. You guys retired after a great run in the greater Lansing area. And I can't imagine your fans let you go quietly, did they?
Well, I don't know. They were kind of trying to get rid of us, maybe. No. Like Dick said, we had a great huge party at Sir Pizza. And we were, well, one of our famous things was to do the banana boat song. We were throwing bananas around. In fact, there's a video of us on Lynn Heffron of the Heftones, Brian Heffron and Lynn Hirschberger took of me walking around throwing bananas during the banana boat song. And I won't tell you about when I almost got beat up about that because we don't have time. But we had a great party. And ever since then, Pat and Dick Johnson and I, the bass player, have gotten together a few times. And actually, DJ subbed in Mystic Shake or in the Ukulele Kings for us a couple times when our bass player, Steve Saligi, couldn't make it. So, and every once in a while, we'll get together over at Dick Johnson's house. But our dream is one day to get Rosemont up here for more than a weekend, spend some time rehearsing, and have a reunion show. At least that's my dream. I don't
rehearse.
Know about Dick. Yes, we're going to rehearse.
What's that?
Well, we left,
no,
on,
actually,
we left on such a high note, you know. It's.
We did get together one time a few years after I moved, when you were still living in Indian Hills.
Oh, yeah,
we got
in
together.
Your house.
Yeah, yes, where you were living.
You know, it's amazing. So, I'm sitting here and I'm showing Ben my last question for the interview.
Go.
And he shot a hole in my last question for the interview, which was, are there any discussions of a reunion? And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think that there's enough interest between your fans and people that have learned about you over the years, and you'd have to have it up here at Sir Pizza. There's no other place you could have it. Go ahead.
And don't forget morbid curiosity.
Yeah.
Well,
and, you know, Pat and I have certainly talked about this because, you know, we were together quite a bit.
Sure.
And, yeah, we'd love to do it. And Dick Johnson would certainly be up for it. I'm sure Rosemont would too. Yep. But we want to do it right. You know, I mean, like I said, I'd want to get together, spend a little time rehearsing, go over some of those songs. I know when Dick Johnson and Pat and I have gotten together, going over some of those songs, and it's like, oh, now wait a minute, where is this change? Or a couple of the keys have moved down a step or two, you know. But someday, Dick, someday we have to do it, buddy.
I'm up for it.
All right.
Yep.
You have got my vote.
Enough. If we can accumulate enough percussion equipment, and you know, fortunately, I when we evolved into the amplified acoustic, I was doing hand percussion, and since other people in the band could also play hand percussion, I got to play guitar on occasion, which was fun. So it could happen.
All right, it's in stone now, or in.
Yes,
yeah. Megabytes or something. Yes,
we've
heard it here first.
Just do me a favor, guys. Keep me posted because I want to come out. I'm a photographer, and would love to come out and do some photos of the event. And I think that'd be a great time. Matter of fact, I know a couple guys in town that could probably record it for you for posterity. And if somebody wanted to buy a copy of the CD, you could make that available. So definitely going to be a good time. You are listening to Time Signatures. My guest, Ben Hassinger and Dick Rosemont, not Montrose, of the band Mystic Shake. And if you wanna learn more about these guys, you can look them up. There's one website that I'm aware of. Ben, put your website out there because I'm sure you're going to have some Mystic Shake listeners that want to look you up and read some of the history and.
Wow. Yeah, so if you go to benhassinger.com, and that's Hassinger, like passenger with an H, Hassinger.com, and look under music, and there's a tab that says Mystic Shake, and that has basically a history of the band. There's also some videos up there. Have at it.
Ben, Dick, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today. And we definitely look forward to talking to you guys again. For those that are listening out there, keep doing what you've been doing. Keep tuning in and help us keep the blues alive.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Ervin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.